So thank you so much for taking the time to do this. It is a pleasure. Aside from all of that, how are you doing at the moment?
Great, man. I'm a little tired. We got a toddler, so it's like early morning wake ups, and I'm about a week out from a tour. I get pretty anxious, so I'm having trouble sleeping. I'm pretty
Oh
excited.
God.
Yeah, so
Okay.
I stay up late and then I wake up early. So it compounds.
I'd love to say it gets better. I have a 21-year-old, so I'd love to say it gets better, but it comes with
It's gonna take some
different challenges.
Yeah, absolutely. Heard. It's been great though. I'm really excited to go on tour. That's all.
Oh yeah, I
Off
mean
the record.
the that tour looks incredible. Just one of many things you're doing this year as well. I mean, of course, the dates in Asia, as well. You've got New Zealand, Australia. I
Dude,
mean,
yeah,
you're
I'm really
busy.
pumped. We're lucky. We're really lucky. Not a lot of books getting read on that Dying Fetus tour, I don't think. That's the illiteracy tour of the year, I think. But yeah, dude, it's sick. I mean, I can't complain. We're just like, I just feel lucky. That's all. We're fortunate to still be doing it and like have the support of like people that are down to put us on bills with like cool bands and yeah, I don't know. Not much more to be said about that. We're just stoked trying to take advantage of it.
So I guess it's fair to say the overall vibe in Full of Hell as a whole right now, with of course the album coming out soon, the tours, it's just really positive and good at the moment.
Yeah, it's generally pretty positive. I mean, like me and the guitar player are kind of the businessy minded guys that kind of keep everything scheduled, and we can be kind of stressed and negative, in the moment. But overall, I mean, there's just a feeling as we are in our, him and I at least are in our mid 30s. The boys are a bit younger, but like we've just kind of been through the mill enough where I just feel so fortunate that we had tough times, that we've seen them and done them, and like we've gotten into the big fights and done all these things. And there's, I feel like a real effort, at least personally, I can say for myself, I just want the least amount of static as possible. And I want my bandmates to be proud and happy of what they're doing. Like, I sound like a super cheesy dad here, but like, this is like, I just, I'm pretty proud of what we've been doing. And I'm really psyched to put the record out. And I'm just trying to like take advantage of what's been afforded to us, like, the time is now. Just like, do it the best you can do it. So, yeah, feeling pretty good.
I'm glad you feel that way because the new album is an incredible release. Out 26th of April, of course, it is Craigslist Bliss, being released by Closed Casket Activities. A long road to release, lots of things to be done on this path until it eventually walks out into the world. I have to
For
ask
sure.
you, at this stage of your career, do you enjoy the long build that kind of comes with releasing an album now?
I mean, if we're talking specifically about all of the preparations, I mean, I like the actions of I do a lot of the layouts, and I love that. I love curating the artist. This time we worked with a painter that I've been friends with since I was very young. He convinced me to quit my job. Like, he's a very important friend. So there's like a personal connection there. We love making records. I think like when I was young, I liked touring the most. I just wanted to play live. I didn't really give a fuck. I was excited to make records, but other than that, the epitome, the big one was just getting to tour. And as the older I get, the more I appreciate the studio experience. And I think that's like pretty universal with the other boys too. So yeah, I mean, the act of making a record is exciting. So I enjoy all of the actions involved. I don't really care one way or the other for the wait. It's definitely with Full of Hell in particular, we're always making stuff. So there's always like usually one to four records in the pipeline. Like we just got a full length back from mastering. That's like a whole nother type of project. And like there's other records. It's just everybody's always recording, either with Full of Hell or side projects, that it's kind of dizzy sometimes because it's just like, there isn't like an empty space. It's like, well, this is at mastering. Let's write this stuff,
You're not sitting still at any stage. There's nothing, you're always concentrating on something.
Right. And that's not even a conscious, like, we're not like, we need to take this seriously. It's just kind of like the way we've always been wired. I think that just the stuff that we were into growing up and like our big influences or whatever are so prolific themselves that it was just kind of like unconsciously, like, this is how you are a band. And even now, though, we don't say that and we don't like make that our thing. Like, it's just kind of who we are. You know what I mean? It's like burned into our DNA forever. So.
Yeah. Well, obviously, every Full of Hell album release is important, but always the newest one is the most important. So tell me, what does it mean for you to get this album out?
I think this is like a kind of a turning point to something a little new for us. We did The last three solo LPs, the artwork was done by our friend Mark McCoy. He's one of my favorite artists, and like there was like a very specific kind of like mindset that we were all in when we were making those records, and it was a different era of the band in general. And one of the things I like personally about my bandmates is that the music that they're writing in Full of Hell is never genre specific, and I can like kind of pinpoint now over the years different eras of the band and what like was really juicing us at the time. So I feel like personally, at least, you know, I'm as biased as possible, but I feel like the approach is always genuine. And you know, there's been eras that looking back, you know, you could have a different perspective on. Like, I was more excited about this than this. What Spencer's tapping into now is what I've been watching him try to make for a long, long time. And I've just watched those guys grow so much as musicians, and I've come to a different point where I think this is the era that I'm most excited about, because it just feels really good on like an internal level, I think, the songwriting. So yeah, it feels like we're over, like just turning over a new rock or something special. There's a lot of weird bugs, you know, we want to check them out.
I'm glad you said that because I want to make clear to anyone that's a long-term fan that this is still a Full of Hell album. Need
Right.
not worry about that. But it's also should be made clear that this is a different beast too. Notable in the singles that have been released already, but more when you hear the full thing as a whole. So, Vision, when you went into this record, did you have a clear idea of what you wanted to do this time around?
Oh yeah, and you know, it's funny because the last record, Garden of Burning Apparitions, when that was on the drawing board before like a lot of it was written, the idea was for that record to be this record, honestly. But it was written in such a horrible time in our lives, you know, because we were kind of grounded from touring and stuff, that I think the anxiety, stress, and misery kind of shined through on the record. And the record's more like kind of unrelenting and oppressive and like doesn't really breathe. This one was like what Spencer had been working towards for a long time. And the cool thing was, for me, those guys have been like huge Melvins fans for as long as I can remember. I mean, they're one of the best bands of all time, but these guys are like huge noise rock heads. We've all collectively loved Harvey Milk for like as long as I can remember. I've loved from the moment I heard them. They were on like a Hydrohead record sampler in high school. There's nothing more sad and miserable and heavy than Harvey Milk to me. So Spencer's whole concept for the record was to channel the noise rock and the Harvey Milk and like maintain all the elements of Full of Hell, but present them in a way that's like more refined in like a in a structural way. And I don't even think the record's like very alien. I think like there's totally a chance that someone would like read an interview where they're like, it's totally different. And then they'll listen to it and be like, this is not really different at all, you know? But for us, it's definitely turns a new leaf. And I think there's like, I just think there's something to be said with the song structuring. I just think like it's easier for me as a musician to write to these kind of songs. There's just a lot of variety going on, and I kind of tried something a little different in terms of like subject matter, like my approach at least, and kind of always writing about the same shit. But yeah, there's just so many different weird, funny ways that this just kind of turns out to be a little bit fresh for us, especially. And I'm finding as I get older that if I let go of the reins a little bit and try not to control every little detail, that the magic really happens when it's just a collective, everybody is doing the same. Everybody's kind of like a little lax and just on their shit, and we just see what happens and comes together, you know? And we learned that kind of stuff just from working with other bands and making collab records. I find like the best things that have ever happened to us were more like happenstance.
The changing aspects of the Full of Hell mindset, though, I mean, there is a challenge that comes with that. You've done things a certain way for so long and it's worked. Was it quite challenging to kind of open your mind up, I guess, to a degree?
No, not at all. Honestly, I not even like the slightest bit. The biggest challenge that probably would have been put in our way in the last few years musically would have been making the Nothing record, and that was one of the most positive experiences. I think we're not diehard anything. Like, we're not death metal enough for the death metal dudes. We're not grindcore enough for the grind guys. We're not any of that stuff, because that's just not what we're interested in playing. And that's like afforded us like a unique opportunity to kind of just do exactly what we want. So I've never once really felt particularly challenged. This one was, I was amazed personally because it was so easy for me to write to. I was just so ready to write this record and like so pleased with how it came out that Yeah, it was just positive all around. And with Spencer, I mean, I think he was finally scratching an itch that he was trying to scratch for a while. You know, I can't imagine having the responsibility of writing the instrumentals for so many records. You know, I would get stressed. I would probably get writer's block, you know. And I think it's just been really positive for him. Like it feels genuine. Like it that's the thing for me. I think I've always been kind of aware of the way people perceive us or whatever and tried not to care, but you know, everybody cares at some level. I don't think I give a fuck anymore, man. This record, I just like it. I think like these guys like it. And I'm not even saying it's great. I'm just saying we like it and we like playing it and we're excited to write more. And that's the only reason we started the band in the first place is just for us. I mean, like the entire mission statement of the band for me and Spencer was to just make the band that we would have wanted to see when we were kids. That's why it's kind of like blends a lot of different sounds together and why it kind of changes over the years. Like it's just who we are, you know what I mean? So.
And that's all anybody should want. If you're happy and you're excited as well by what you're doing, that should be more than enough for a fan.
Yeah, but that's a challenge though, you know? And I don't really have opinions anymore, dude. I just like if a fan hates it, they're right, you know? Like it's so subjective. Like they're totally entitled to that. And not that I ever had a beef with shit talking. I mean, it's like it's a muscle you exercise. It's fun, but like I don't care anymore because it doesn't matter. Like it doesn't matter. Like I'm grateful for either way, you know? It's you just got to be honest. Yeah. And I've always tried to be, but like I said, you know, it's easy to feel insecure. It's easy to like want something so badly and like care about things that don't matter. But you know, hopefully you get rocked existentially and it just pulls you away from the infantile bullshit that you don't need to think about, you know?
Well said. So, did this different approach have a major effect on your lyric writing?
Not really. The main thing would have been, you know, if the BPMs are a little lower, it's a lot easier to write catchier material. Like it's just, and I like songwriting. I like writing stuff with like a cadence and I like interesting vocal rhythms, you know? And I think with the noise rock stuff, it's just fun to kind of like be able to like throw licks over it in a lot of different ways. Whereas, you know, with the blasting, there's like a school of thought there, you know, there's only so many vocal patterns that really make sense with that format. Not that we ever just were all blasts either. I mean, like there's plenty of moments where I was able to kind of slow things down, but I'm pretty juiced on this stuff. And one thing that personally I really like about it, and I don't even know if this is gonna make sense, is I feel like the music is still like incredibly dark. It's as dark as it's ever been, but there's something to me that's so much more interesting about a riff that doesn't necessarily feel completely evil that makes it feel really evil. Like in and I'm not saying it's an evil record by any means, but it just has like kind of a fucked up darkness to it that I just think is a little bit different from my taste and I appreciate it. And I can't really make a comparison and I don't even know if what I'm saying is like even relevant. But to me, I was juiced with the songs themselves because I feel like they pulled back a little bit on the darkness. And I think that's important. You know, I think there needs to be like peaks and valleys for it to feel impactful. Yeah, and like there's just like a couple moments in the record where I was like, man, this is just something different for us and it's very us. The long song on the record is the one that's like very Harvey Milk. And the latter half of that's just like the riff could almost be interpreted as like a happy riff, but it's so sad to me still. And I don't know. It just if I had to sum it up, I guess I could just say like what my bandmates are writing is impactful to me right now in a particularly potent way. So I'm pretty juiced. I like the direction that they're going. And I think those guys are really excited too, because I think there's an unconscious level to kind of want to deviate from our other projects. And they have another band called Jarhead Fertilizer, and it's way more like nuanced. There's like Mints influence and war metal influence, and it's like very death metal. Like there's very specific aspects of that that are like so much grosser and heavier than Full of Hell's really trying to be. So for Full of Hell to be going in this particular direction that everybody loves, because everybody likes a lot of different kinds of music, I think is like exciting for us and for me in particular. So yeah, I don't know if that answers your question or if I just like rambled.
Rambling is fantastic, particularly when it is so interesting. But I want to bring you back to your lyrics, if you do not mind. In particular, the overarching theme of small town America, which for many from an outside perspective is very hard to comprehend the reality of that life. How are you able to use small town life to inspire your lyric writing, and how much of it comes from a personal place?
It's all personal, honestly. I mean, like, there are experiences that I wrote about that I didn't personally have on the record, like plenty of them, but they happened to friends of mine or people in the band or relatives in the band. And I think it the reason that it's kind of been phrased like it's about small town America is because we personally grew up in these small towns, and there are aspects that are maybe a little more unique to the American rural experience. Like, we're pretty like we excel really hard about with like handing pedestrians like pharmaceutical drugs, that's like we're really good at that. But like a lot of these experiences absolutely apply to every little town in the UK too. I mean, like, I've been around plenty of lads and I've seen a plenty of that shit. And I think these experiences are worth writing about. I don't necessarily think they're unique, and I think that's what makes them like important, because it's I find comfort in realizing that I'm not special, you know what I mean? And that there are others out there experiencing this. But I mean, there's a lot of darkness to any human existence, but in particular, I live in the Appalachian Mountains. It's on the East Coast, kind of woodsy. And then the rest of the band lives in this little town called Ocean City, Maryland. And that's kind of where all the artwork is set, with a little bit of the pine forest for me in the layout at places. But the experiences are the same. It's the same kind of redneck small town stuff. There's violence, there's drugs, there's no opportunity, there's economic disenfranchising, like lack of education, like ignorance, all of this stuff kind of like sums together. So there's just like, there's something to me that's particularly depressing about the benign kind of violence of an everyday normal person. I mean, you're gonna die alone. You're probably gonna, I don't know. There's like cancer pumped into us from 20 different directions, and like a poor kid in a little town might not have any opportunity afforded to him at all, except for joining the military and getting mulched for some fucking bullshit he doesn't even understand. There's just a lot of it's a lot of little personal experiences in there too. So I don't know.
I thought it was fascinating because I currently and have most of my life lived in the major city of London in the UK. I actually grew up in a very small town in Ireland. So I ended up connecting more with certain elements on the record than I expected because obviously I was
That's
thinking,
cool.
oh, yeah. But that contrast between small and big, it can be quite overwhelming because all you need to do is look out your window and see some new form of fresh hell going on in the world. How do you channel this aspect with your own expressions of tangible reality?
Well, I just think that it's important that I write about what I actually know, like what I'm feeling deeply. And the artist that painted the record cover, really awesome guy, old friend, he told me something really cool before I even started writing the lyrics for this when we got him signed on. He said that with my age and fatherhood and everything, that it was time for me to come home and write a record about where I'm from. And I've always written about stuff that's impacted me and my family and my friends, but I'd never like been, my intention was never super strong. I never was like, people are going to know what this is about. You know what I mean? It was just for me, and it was like more personal, and I was always trying to drive at this like existential divine type of thing like that I was tackling for so many years. But there's just so much to draw on. The moment he said it, I was like, why have I never done this? It's so dark, and I actually know about this. I see this. Why write something ingenuine? Like, this is as genuine as it possibly could get. I don't need to think about this. This is like, I know this top to bottom, And there's some like callbacks on the record too to older songs, because I've written about this kind of stuff in the past. Like, there's a song called Vacuous Dose on the record, and the anagram of VD is also Vessel Deserted, which is a really old Full of Hell song that we still play. That was about my best friend in my high school band. We went off to college together, and he was one of the early fentanyl overdoses. And we found him in his room, and it was horrible and like very sad. It was hard to see all that like fold out. And I know a lot of people have experienced similar things to that. And I just, the older I get, the more of a different perspective I kind of have about that specific situation. And it's, I just thought it would be interesting to revisit, 12 years later, and to like recognize that those wounds are, they really never go away, like everybody says. And like, the grief is still so tangible and it's so sad, but in such a different way. Like, you just, I don't know. It's kind of like just a hopeless thing, But yeah, I don't,
Well,
I just like, I check perspectives on like older stuff that I'd been writing about that was applicable here. And then like, a lot of family experiences with my bandmates and shit I see down the street, the meth heads and shit.
are you also, I mean, would you describe that? Do you find you're also kind of looking for a certain level of personal growth? Do you want to compare it to something you did, say, 10 years ago and go, well, this is who I am now?
Oh yeah, definitely, man. I mean, that's my goal in my personal life anyways. I want to grow as a human being and be able to handle existing. Like, I don't have a lot to be like ungrateful for. I have so much. I love my life. I love my family and like all of this stuff, but I think it's so easy to just feel like existentially terrified all the time. And I've always dealt with that since I was as little as I can possibly remember, like a little kid. I've just never been able to shake it. So over the years, it has been productive to kind of channel that. And I used to tell friends and peers and stuff like, I'm not fucked up at all. Like, I don't really have any, like, I just like writing creatively, but I wasn't really thinking about it critically. And like a lot of it was, tackling, all of it was tackling something that was going on in my head in that moment. And I just feel like at this moment, it might just be a little more tangible for other people than it had been in the past. I kind of tended to like intentionally write cryptically because I like the metaphor and I love the imagery. I like evoking like, a set piece in your head basically. And I really loved bands where I didn't know what they were writing about necessarily, and I had to really think about it. And it required a lot of the listener. And for me, that felt so personal and so important that like I was really stuck on that for a while, and I still am. Their lyrics really, again, it's not that different. It's all still there, but I just felt like being a little more intentional with it, maybe a little more upfront. Maybe the this might even be not the right thing to say, but maybe not even just not trying as hard to be something that you think you need to be. You know what I mean?
No, I do understand what you mean. There's an expectation, particularly this point in time, how far along you are with Full of Hell, that you should do things a certain way. There's absolutely nothing
Totally.
wrong with surprising people.
Oh, definitely. And like, it's so, I, there's nothing in my life I've ever found, like, besides obviously my wife and my family and stuff, that I've loved and needed so innately. Like, when I played my first show when I was like 13 years old, I quit everything. I was like, no more extracurriculars. I don't give a fuck about anything else. I definitely never care about school. All I want to do is play shows. All I thought about was playing shows. If I wasn't playing a show that weekend, I was miserable. And like, I've never found anything else that important to me. And it remains to this day, thankfully. I didn't know if it always would. And that used to depress me, like looking to a future that didn't even exist yet. Typical like bullshit anxiety, hoping that I would never fall out of love with this. But like, this is still, I mean, it like, it fills me. It's the closest thing to meditative worship that I have. And I think it's the only tool given to me by whatever to like express myself to the world. And it's a gift and it's really fucking important. And so now I'm just trying to like honor it, It's really important.
It is. I'm glad you said that because we are pretty much out of time. So I'm just going to ask you one more. And it's really from you talk about the importance, what it's been important to you, but it's obviously very important to people who are fans, who are listeners, who've been following your career, or people that are coming brand new to Coagulated Biz for the first time. So, what would you like listeners to potentially take away from Coagulated Biz?
Oh man, these are always hard questions for me because I'm so divorced from what someone should get out of a record. They should get whatever they want out of it, but I would love for people to read the lyrics. I think in metal, a lot of times the lyrics are a little bit of a placeholder, because extreme vocals are just kind of, particularly mine, my friends always pick on me and tell me that they can't understand anything I'm saying, even the metal guys. But I just hope that people look into it and enjoy that there's like more to the record than even just like the songs. Like, the art is very significant, the lyrics are significant, and they're all kind of like interwoven and married together. Like, you can't really separate. And I don't know. I hope you can connect on a level where like, it's not a big deal that you don't matter and you're just gonna fucking disappear. Like, we're all like in that same boat. And yeah, maybe to get a get like a kind of a catharsis from the mundane evils in your everyday life too, because they're everywhere, and the benign ones and the mundane ones are the worst, because they just kind of live with you.
We're all just trying to exist for as long as we possibly can. I think that
Sure.
nothing. That's how it is. April 26th by Closed Casket Activities. Dylan, thank you so much for taking the time to do this. I really appreciate it.
Oh, it's my pleasure, dude. Thank you so much for having me.
Thank you very much for watching. If you'd like to see more content like this, please consider hitting the subscribe button. It is gratefully appreciated. You can find us over at gbhbl.com, our full website, where reviews, news, and so much more goes up daily. We're also on all social media platforms, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, Threads, at GBHBL. Just search for GBHBL and you will find us out there. We also have merchandise on sale. You can access the shop via the website.